The Marathon continues right here on 101.7 The Truth. Thank you for joining me for the second hour of the Tory Lowe Show. And we got guests. We got Kelda Royce, an American attorney, small business owner, and Democratic politician from Madison, Wisconsin. She is a member of the Wisconsin Senate, representing the Wisconsin 26th Senate District since 2021. She previously served two terms in the Wisconsin State Assembly from 2009 to 2013. She is a current candidate for the Democratic Party primary for governor of Wisconsin for the 2026 election. How you doing?
I'm so happy to be with you, Tory. Thank you.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. You in the race.
I'm in the race. I'm having a great time traveling this state.
Now, the governor is a lot, you know, is a lot of responsibility throughout the state of Wisconsin. So I'm going to try to walk through a lot of the concerns.
Mm-hmm.
But what made you decide to run? Why did you run this year?
Because we need somebody who can fight Donald Trump and this Republican regime and when they're trying to hurt Wisconsinites. We need somebody who can win this election because we cannot afford to go backwards with a guy like Tom Tiffany. And we need someone who is prepared to govern on day one. Mm-hmm. And I have the most experience in the race in and around state government, making change for almost 25 years in every kind of legislative environment, not just as a legislator and a leader, but as an advocate, somebody who ran a statewide nonprofit, somebody who's a small business owner.
Well, you know what? It's a lot of Democratic candidates in this race.
There sure are, you know.
Hey, it's
packed. All friends.
It's packed. What do y'all say to each other when y'all see each other? You know, most of the time it's cordial, but now that y'all running against each other, do y'all talk? Do y'all?
Yeah, absolutely.
Still cool,
I mean, you know, a lot of these folks, you know, I've been in politics a long time, but, you know, so many of these folks that have come into politics in recent years, I have supported, I have mentored, I have, you know, been with them as they've run for other races. And so it's nice to see each other. Like every time, you know, I see David Crowley, I make a beeline for him. Mm-hmm. I give him a hug because it's actually great to see him.
That's what's up. Well,
yeah.
Wisconsin families are facing higher costs in groceries, housing, and everyday necessities. As governor, how can you ease those costs for the citizens in Wisconsin?
Well, I would say two ways. Number one, people got to earn more money. Because it's hard to bring prices down, but if you have more money in your pocket, then you are better able to afford your life. And we can do that by raising the minimum wage dramatically. $7.25 an hour is not livable for anyone anywhere. And restoring workers' rights, like collective bargaining, the ability to join a union. That's really important. But we can also bring down prices on the bigger ticket items, like healthcare, like housing, like childcare. And I've got detailed plans for how to do all three. Expanding access to housing, building more, reforming our zoning, making better use of the dollars we already spend on housing. On healthcare, I want to open up the state employee plan that I enjoy as a state senator to anybody. Let anybody buy into the state plan. It's a low-cost, high-quality plan, and it would save a lot of people money.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Hundreds of thousands of Wisconsinites are at risk for losing health coverage and paying more for insurance. That's a huge issue, and I think you touched on it. But how can we get some state safeguards up?
Yeah, this is critical because not only are people going to lose their health insurance, but we have providers all over the state, hospitals and clinics, especially in rural areas, but also urban communities like Milwaukee, that are going to close when people lose insurance because they aren't going to be able to pay the bills. And so it's not just the loss of insurance for individuals. It's the loss of access to care for whole communities. The best way that we can expand access to healthcare today that's affordable is by having a true, robust public option, letting everybody buy in. Now, listen, I'm a single payer person. I think it's crazy that we ration healthcare in this country based on your job or your ability to pay instead of the fact that you're a human being and you need to go to the doctor sometimes. But we've worked for 15 years to expand Medicaid. The federal budget, the recently passed big, ugly bill, has essentially taken that off the table for us because it's going to cost us $500 million to implement. For that amount of money, we could dramatically expand access to the good state healthcare plan that I enjoy that should be open to anybody to buy in. And it's low cost, high quality insurance. Mm-hmm. And it would be your option as a small business owner, as an individual, as a big company. If you don't like those double digit increases you're getting from your for-profit insurance, buy into the state plan. It's your choice.
There was a recent situation where Governor Evers, they wanted to look into the SNAP benefits, where they're going. I mean, with what's going on in Minnesota, with Tim Walz recently dropping out of the governor's race due to the fraud that's going on in Minnesota, how can you fight against that? I mean, public trust is important.
Yes, it is.
And when you talk about misuse of funds, fraud, a lot of people, you know, want to look into where the SNAP benefits is going because they're trying to find out a lot of fraud. The federal government is trying to look into Wisconsin and try to see what they can find with the SNAP benefits. How do you feel about the federal government looking into SNAP benefits and fraud or possibly fraud?
Listen, I want to be absolutely clear. Anybody who steals money from the taxpayers, from us, the public, deserves to be prosecuted and put in prison. That is outrageous. Mm-hmm. When you violate the public trust in that way, you have harmed every single American, and it's unacceptable. But I start – when I think about corruption, I look at the highest levels. I see a president who has stacked his cabinet with billionaires, and he is weaponizing our own federal government to make himself and his family and his friends richer. Mm-hmm. They have not just change the tax code to benefit themselves, make private jets tax deductible, you know, give themselves sweetheart deals. But he's actually used the government to enrich his own family's business holdings, right? And to me, that is absolutely outrageous. And I want to see corruption at any level stopped. But I don't think we turn a blind eye to the corruption at the top just because, you know, there might be some waste or fraud or abuse, you know, by the little guys.
Well, it's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money.
A lot of people depend on those resources.
They sure do.
So
and
I don't,
you know what?
I wouldn't marginalize
the, and, you know, the truth is that people who receive benefits like that, earned benefits, the fraud rate is very, very low. Usually when people are talking about fraud, what they mean is somebody made a mistake
misuse
on one of the
of
complicated forms. No, like they made a typo or, you know, they picked up an extra shift that week and then they – you know, and then they reported it and then they were disqualified from getting health care because they were over the income limit. Right. They were too rich making 11 grand a year or something. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I think we got to be really careful when we talk about trying to take away people's benefits like their food or the health care that they rely on, low income people. And we should be very aggressive in prosecuting corruption and fraud, especially at the scale that we're seeing by the Trump regime.
Now, where's your stance on immigration right now in the state of Wisconsin? A lot of the farmers said that they needed a lot of the immigration ideas to help them farm their land because most regular people do not want to do those jobs. But now you have a mandate from the government to kind of get involved. And that's what you see in Minnesota right now with the woman eventually, you know, losing her life to trying to stand against or kind of confronting or
she
being
was a
involved
legal observer.
In, you know, in this situation. Mm-hmm. But where do you stand on this right here in the state of Wisconsin?
Listen, Wisconsin's top three industries are manufacturing, agriculture, and tourism. Every one of those industries is heavily dependent on immigrant labor, right? Different kinds of labor in different parts of the state. But the reality is we don't have enough people here in the state to run our economy without immigrants. Now, I don't want to have laws on the books that we can't enforce. We can have safe communities and secure borders, and we should, but that is not what Donald Trump is doing. What he is doing is empowering an untrained, lawless, violent force into American communities. They are kidnapping and disappearing people. They are violating all of our
rights.
Are
these American citizens or migrants?
Some of them are American citizens. Many of them are people with legal permission to be here. They're spouses of U.S. citizens, green card holders, permanent residents. And they're taking them without due process. They're disappearing them. And then, of course, yesterday we saw a woman, an American citizen, a mother of a six-year-old boy who now will grow up an orphan because they shot his mother dead. That was murder. Let's be very, very clear. She posed no threat to those ICE agents. She was there as a legal observer. She was there, like so many of us, protesting the illegal and unconstitutional actions of ICE, something that she has every right to do as an American. And they shot her as she was trying to leave.
I agree. Her intentions, from my opinion, wasn't to hurt anybody. But I think that as a person that have dealt with protests, and I said this earlier in the show, just stay out the way with these federal agents because it's a gray area.
It's very dangerous. It's not legally is not a gray area.
As an attorney, when you walk and approach a situation as a person that have mitigated or told people to back up because I don't want what I saw on that video to happen. These are things that we have to try to train ourselves to not get as close or not to get involved to me as a person that had to tell somebody, hey, look, relax. First of all, relax because I know I see that you're starting to get hyperactive. Relax, calm down, and react calmly in these type situations. I think she was just trying to get herself out of the way because they were approaching her. And I've seen that happen before. And, you know, and I just say that was a tough situation for somebody to be in as far as like the woman, because she came out that day to do something. But you also got to know how to respond when things happen.
Well, listen, it's a very dangerous situation when you have untrained vigilante forces that have been given permission by the president to act in lawless ways without any accountability to us as taxpayers. They are coming into our communities. They don't have adequate training. They're not like our local police forces. And, you know, even with our local police forces, you have to have accountability, right? They are there to help keep us safe. And that doesn't always happen, right? And I say this as the daughter of a law enforcement officer, somebody who spent his career in law enforcement as a prosecutor and as a law enforcement officer. We need public safety, but we also need to understand that when you pick up that badge and you put on a gun, you take on a responsibility, and you don't get to just shoot first and ask questions later. Absolutely
well, I
not.
I deal with it all the time. Like I said, Terry Williams down at the lakefront was shot by a sheriff deputy who wasn't charged with a crime. And so, like I said, you just have to be cautious. And I always tell people that when I'm out, don't even go near them.
Yeah.
You don't have
it's
to get
It's a scary
close.
Situation because, you know, they're in many of these situations, there is not accountability for police officers who discharge their weapons and hurt or kill people. And nobody wants to be in that situation.
Well, maybe you can get some justice reform in here.
I'm
laws,
working on it.
Get
Listen.
Some laws in the state of Wisconsin, some better ideas when it comes to when these type of situations take place. So
what we're doing is not working right now.
Well, look, when we come back, I want to ask you some more questions. I got some more questions for you. Also, I want to know specifically things about Milwaukee because we need a lot of assistance from the state. Mm-hmm. Hey, look, we got a lot of different things that I want to talk about. I was just looking at this question about farming. So when we get back, we'll have more conversation. Truth Nation, stay locked in.
You are listening to The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. Yeah. This is The Tory Lowe Show on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Seven the Truth, Tory Lowe Show. We got guest Gelda Royce. She's running for governor in the 2026 election. Look, Milwaukee got a lot of issues. I want to get to this Milwaukee. I want to get to the city because usually Milwaukee kind of pushes a lot of the political candidates into office due to the fact that it's a liberal township, you know.
Yes.
Democratic township.
Milwaukee is very important to the state, both politically and economically.
Right. And many times when we talk about those votes, what we always say, well, what do we get out of these votes? Milwaukee education, when it comes to education, when it comes to things that we depend on the state, we got a lot of taxes. We got taxed this year. We got extra taxes that took place on the property taxes, NPS referendum added more taxes. It just seems like the people in Milwaukee are just continuing to be taxed. What are some of the things that you have in mind to help the city of Milwaukee?
Well, first of all, I want to say that I love Milwaukee, and I understand that if Wisconsin's going to be strong, if we're going to have a vibrant, powerful economy for the 21st century, Milwaukee's got to be strong. And we've had politics for the last couple of decades where the Republicans have basically spat on Milwaukee again and again. They're doing everything they can to undermine Milwaukee and to pit the rest of the state against Milwaukee. And that has got to stop.
Is that just from what point of view, like as far as what? Like the Democrats seem like when we talk about local government, this is a Democratic ran township. So I can't go and say that Trump messed up the city of Milwaukee.
Milwaukee.
I won't do that.
Know, any human institution is going to have challenges, right?
Right.
Because none of us are perfect. But I think the way that Milwaukee has been demonized for political purposes by Republicans at the state level is really cynical and it's wrong. And we've got to stand up against it and say, no, listen, Milwaukee has its problems like any other place. But Milwaukee has a lot of spirit. Milwaukee has a fighting spirit. And
right.
I want Milwaukee to thrive.
But we get out and we vote all the time. Like we get out and vote. And we just want to know what are the result-based concepts that we can actually bank on from you. What are some of your things that you want to actually specifically get done here?
Yeah, big priorities that I think are going to disproportionately help Milwaukee are raising the minimum wage and restoring collective bargaining to put more money in the pockets of workers and working families.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to fully fund public education, everything from early childhood, childcare, to K-12, to public higher education. Milwaukee has been really disadvantaged by the way that Republicans have starved our public schools of funds. We are going to open up the state health insurance and retirement plan mm-hmm. to allow anybody to buy in. That's going to mean more vibrant small businesses opening up. And we're going to protect your freedom. We're going to protect Milwaukee's freedom to make its own local decisions. That's been really taken away by Republicans, taken away local control, and we're going to try to restore that.
Do you get to lower the taxes?
Yeah.
To make sure that we can get a tax break?
You know what, Tori? Every place I go in this state, every place, people are talking about their property taxes and how high they are. And the reason that they're high, you can point to one place, and it is Republican legislators in mm-hmm. Madison that have starved our schools and our local governments of the funds they need. Meanwhile, they are sitting on billions of dollars of surplus at the state level. That is not right. We are already paying our taxes to the state. And the state is supposed to be putting that money back into our community so that we have good schools and good public services and safe roads. And they're not doing it.
So what would you do different from Governor Evers? Like, what ideas would you apply? Because Governor Evers, he said, okay, I'm not running anymore. I'm done with running the state. What would you do different as a governor than what's already been happening?
Well, I think we're going to have a very different situation in 2027. I think we're going to have a Democratic state Senate for the first time in a generation. And I think the assembly is going to be very, very close. And listen, the governor has a lot of power,
mm-hmm.
but for some things you need the legislature. But if we're going to take advantage of this opportunity, if we're going to actually use it to fund our schools, to make change, to improve access to health care for people, you got to have a governor who knows her stuff, that isn't putting her finger in the wind and waiting for a poll to say what the right thing to do is to help people.
Mm.
A governor who is willing to use political power, really wield political power to get things done to make life better for families.
Okay. And then many times when I talk about these state ideas, the governor, many times they have to, deal with what's going on with the Republicans and the governor.
Mm-hmm.
How much power does the governor have? Because I think that many times when we look at Governor Evers and we talk about He's managing a surplus many times. So how much of that money can be given to programs in the city of Milwaukee that can be used as resources for people in the underserved community,
mm-hmm.
People that are having evictions ideas that are harming them from, being in a livable space,
mm-hmm.
Rental ideas where, a lot of the residents are renters. They're not homeowners.
Right.
So the landlords have a lot of power here in Wisconsin. So how can we improve some of these ideas when it comes to homelessness, evictions, things like that? Like people many times wonder, what can the state do to affect some of the things that are happening on the ground, and middle class as well. Middle class is starting to shrink.
Housing's expensive for everybody. Housing is probably the biggest pain point for most families these days, just because the costs have risen so much faster than people's incomes. So there's a lot that the state can do. The governor in Wisconsin is pretty powerful and has the ability to put out federal funds. And I think Governor Evers has done a good job of distributing those, like COVID area relief funds, getting them out to communities and people in need, businesses in need. But to distribute state money, you need the permission of the legislature. And I've served on the Joint Finance Committee, which is responsible for the state budget. So I know where the money is. I know where it's not going and where it should be going. Housing is a huge priority for me. For 13 years, I've been a successful small business owner. My business helps make it more affordable for people to buy and sell homes. And we need everybody to be able to afford a safe place to live. We need to build more housing at the state level. Of course, we're fighting against the rising cost of building housing because of the Trump tariffs and the way that his immigration raids have hurt our labor force. It's making it a lot more expensive to build. But there's a lot we can do at the state level to ensure more housing stock.
So what can the Democrats do better? If you get in office, what can the Democrats do better to help serve the community?
I think Democrats need to stop being scared of our own shadow. I think Democrats just need to have the courage of our convictions. You know, if you believe that health care is a right and people have access, need to have access to health care and our schools should be funded, then by God, use your political power to do it. Talk about it every day, everywhere you go. Fight for your values. I think, you know, people agree with Democrats on policies. If you just ask them, you know, should abortion be a crime or should it be legal? Should marijuana be criminalized?
Would you legalize marijuana?
Of course. Tax it. Regulate it. You know, let's let adults make their own decisions and let's make sure that this state has the revenue we need. If you ask people, they agree with Democrats on policies, but people don't like to see politicians get power and then make excuses as to why they can't do things.
Like using Donald Trump as an excuse.
Well, I mean, you know, there are some things we can't do without the presidency. But,
right, but what
there's
I'm saying
plenty
is,
that we can do and should.
When we talk about the Milwaukee, when we talk about the amount of votes that they depend on to come out the city to affect these governor elections, I think a lot of people would scratch their head and wonder, what are they getting out of their votes? What are they getting in return? Because every time we get into these races, we come out. Milwaukee has definitely pushed a lot of people into office. But what I'm saying is we have to have a written plan, something that we can say, you spent your 4 years doing this and we got something out of it.
Yes.
And many times we don't have that something out of it conversation.
That's right. And it can be hard when there's divided government, right, to get all your priorities done. But that's why we need a governor with really strong leadership and really strong principles and a willingness to fight, the courage and the competence to get things done, and who knows what she wants to do. Go on my website, keldaroys.com. Check out my plan. I've got the receipts here. I've got the plan. Well, I know what I want to do. And listen, I'm not going to promise that I can get everything done that I want to. That's not how the world works. I'm not a dictator. I'm not going to break the law like Donald Trump. But I can promise you that I will wake up every day and do everything in my power to make life better for you, to raise your wages, to lower the costs on the big ticket items like housing and healthcare and childcare, and to guarantee your freedom.
Well, thank you for coming through, Kelda, because once again, as you further yourself into the campaign, make sure you swing back through to let us know what's going on and how it's going. You know, because I'm sure other candidates are going to swing through the show. But once again, we are going to make sure we keep an eye on you. And maybe, you know, as we progress into the race, when you come back, we may have to get tougher on you. You know, we may
Good.
Have to get a little tougher
Listen,
on you.
Listen, I'm ready. You vet me. I'm here to speak the truth, and I appreciate it, Tori.
Well, thank you so much. And like I said, stop back through. You know, if you get into the big race, you got to stop back through. But I appreciate you for coming through and letting the people know how you feel of moving forward, how you feel that you're going to move forward and what you can offer the people. And once again, this may not be our last conversation.
Good to be with you. Thanks.
Right. God bless you. Hey, look, when we come back, Truth Nation, we'll have more conversations. Stay locked in.